Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
In the year 2000, you all made it possible for me to travel to the Holy Land. And one of the places that we visited, our group, was the city of Nablus, N-A-B-L-U-S. It's under Palestinian control. It's on the West Bank. You may recognize it more with its Bible name, Sychar. Sychar in Samaria, in the Bible. But now it's Nablus. We went to Nablus to see something very special. We arrived, got off the bus, went to a Greek Orthodox church, walked down some steps, and walked through a main door of this Greek Orthodox church, and then walked down some more steps. So we were a good ways down from street level by the time we arrived to see what we wanted to see. Because you see, when you want to see something of history, you go down. Archaeologists dig. That's because layers and layers of dirt, debris, wars cover up things. And so to go back in time, you go down. And so we went down into this little area, and it was very dark, lit by a few candles. And over to the side was a little desk, and a Greek Orthodox priest sitting at that desk. He had some little vials in front of him that he was selling. Vials full of water. Because what we had gone to see, standing right there in front of this priest's little desk, was Jacob's Well. It's one of the few places in the Holy Land where there is almost no dispute that that's the place. You can tell it's very old, very old. Still has water in it. It's 75 feet deep. And this old priest was filling these little vials with water from Jacob's Well. Well, I was asked to read. I was very honored when the leader of the group asked me to read the account in John chapter 4 of Jesus' visit to Jacob's Well. And as I stood there, I thought, my, I'm standing very likely where Jesus stood. And I had this little, well, it's not paperback, but it's collapsible. I'd taken it with me as my Bible to stick in my backpack and that kind of thing. And I read from it. In fact, I just couldn't resist writing down in the inside cover of this little Bible, from this Bible, as we stood at Jacob's Well in Samaria, June 10th, 2000, I was asked to read John 4, 1 through 42. I did so with great delight at the very place Jesus spoke with the Samaritan woman. Trip to the Bible lands, June 6th through the 16th, 2000, with the group from the Southeast Church of Christ, Houston, Texas, and then my signature, Larry Suttle. I don't know who I expect to read that, but I just couldn't resist. It was such a momentous occasion for me. And from this same Bible, I read to you now just a few verses. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now, how the story ends from that conversation that Jesus struck up with that woman that day led to many Samaritans believing in Jesus. The most unlikely people. It began with Jesus simply being there. John 4 begins with the statement, Jesus had to go through Samaria. Well, he didn't have to. Most Jews would go around Samaria. But the Bible says Jesus had to go through Samaria. You see, he had an appointment. She didn't know it, but Jesus knew it. And how he began that exchange that resulted in so many people coming to Christ was a simple, natural conversation beginning with a simple, natural question. Will you give me a drink? I want you this morning to think about the people you might very well influence for Christ. People who you may be the only connection, the only channel through which the gospel will ever go for that person. Authentically, genuinely. But the question is, for all of us, and I certainly include myself in this, because there's a big difference in public proclamation of the word as I'm doing, and being one-on-one with a person, and just naturally talking with them. I've always felt I'm not very good at that. Likely you felt that way too. How do you bring up spiritual things without appearing holier than thou, one of our great fears? How do you bring it up with people to get to a very basic level of our mutual existence, our spiritual lives, without somehow conveying the idea that I've got something that you don't have, or I'm smarter than you are? How do you bring it up naturally, this great subject? My one contribution this summer to our Sunday night program, since we do not have small groups in the summer, was playing a video series called Just Walk Across the Room by Bill Hybels. And of course, not all of you were there, but many of you were there on Sunday nights and watched this very effective video. But it raised our awareness of the importance of natural conversation. not beating someone over the head, not intimidating someone by our vast Bible knowledge and their lack of Bible knowledge. How do you just bring up spiritual things naturally in a way that will result in good things? How do you develop a friendship that may, over quite an extended period of time, eventually make it a natural thing to talk about Jesus Christ and what a difference he's made in my life? How do you do that? How do you tell your story to someone in a way that's not a turnoff to them? Life groups begin next Sunday night. Next Sunday night, most of the groups meet around 6, depending on the group that you sign up for. But this time, all groups will be studying the same thing: the arts of spiritual conversation. And you'll notice it's not art, singular. That kind of suggests the idea that you found the art, you have it. It also may suggest, well, I don't have it, and so why try? I'll just leave it to the person who has the art, who knows the art of spiritual conversation. No, this is the arts, plural, of spiritual conversation. There are 9 of them that are focused upon in the small group, life group studies. And you will have inclination toward one, maybe several, of those arts. And the purpose of this curriculum is simply, again, to build on the video series, just walk across the room, but it's to raise our awareness of our role in communicating the gospel to someone in a very natural way. Now, let me just pause here and say this. We have had a bad idea for a long time about how that's done. In churches of Christ, we have witnessed people who seem to be very adept at setting up Bible studies because we think that's how it's done. If you just communicate information, then they will see the truth of the information and they will say, well, I want to be baptized, and the same hour of the night you'll go up and baptize them. And you may do that in about a week. Might even do it in one session if you're really good. Well, that's not a Bible idea, is it? The Bible idea, according to Paul, is someone plants a seed, somebody else waters the seed, and it may be someone else altogether who harvests. Who are we? We are the seed planters. Remember Jesus' parable of the one who scatters the seed? He scatters them indiscriminately. He may or may not see the harvest. Not all of them will even sprout and grow. A good many of them won't, but a few will. But it's not ours to determine the conclusion. Ours is simply to plant the seed. So the wrong idea that maybe we have unconsciously conveyed to our folks is that you are responsible for leading a person to Christ from A to Z. You plant the seed, you water, you do it all, and then you baptize them and see that person grow in Christ. I mean, you're a one-man show. Aren't you good? Well, there's very few of those people. And sometimes a quick conversion, what we might refer to as a quick conversion experience, doesn't last. That seed was in very shallow ground. And it won't be long until we wonder, well, where are they? I just baptized them. Why don't they come to church? Where are they now? Well, part of the problem is our not understanding the biblical process of transforming a person's life. It's a long process. And even the time period of being able to share with someone in a meaningful way your story may take a very long time just to plant the seed. But for it to be effective, it must be a very natural thing and a very loving thing. Well, that's what we see with Jesus. I cannot stress enough to you this morning the importance of being a part of a life group and studying this material together and discussing it and having your awareness raised, because I know there are people in your life that you would very much like to see, not only in the church, but you'd like to see them in eternity. You love them very much. You have respect for them. And the very thought that they will be lost is something we just quickly push out of our mind. We just cannot bear the thought that they will be lost, because they are such precious people and precious to us. And thus the idea of an eternal hell is something very little emphasized. We just can't bear to think about it. And so we'd much rather talk about the grace of God, the goodness of God. And we don't think about, as someone said, the stormy north side of Jesus, the one who demands holiness and who has standards and who will save, but not save everybody, because not everybody will come to him. Folks, we have got to do our exercise and fulfill our responsibility as the only channel possibly that person will ever confront with the gospel message. But it must be genuine and must not come from someone who gives the impression or has the tone in his voice that I have it and you don't. I have all the answers and you don't. No, it must come from someone who that person knows and understands, struggles just like I do, has the same problems I have, and who goes through the same process I must go to be a Christian. How do you bring it up? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about this next year, this next school year, a good portion of the school year. Paul speaks of our ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation means a bringing back together again. The idea sort of conveys the idea there was at one time a relationship, but it's been broken. And how do we get that relationship back together again? In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, the Apostle Paul wrote, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ." And notice this. "And gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." He is making his appeal through us. As someone said, there is no plan B. His plan is making his appeal through us. Well, Lord, couldn't you have done a better job than that? Couldn't you have picked out somebody better than me? Well, maybe so, but that's his plan. You know, I'm an earthen vessel. I'm a vessel made out of clay. I have chips and cracks and, yeah, I know. But I've placed the treasure in you. And who are you? You're Christ's ambassador. Christ's ambassador. We have a ministry. What is that ministry? We're getting our friend, our loved one, and God back together again. How much richer their lives would be if only they were back in harmony with God. Can you think of any problem in this old world that couldn't be solved by someone being in harmony with God? The problem is, and it's worldwide, human beings are in disharmony. They are in alienation to God. And so everything they try to do messes up because God's blessing is not on it. And so they keep trying and they keep trying and they think, well, surely I can do a better job. I can pull it out of my most inward parts and get this thing done. But it never happens because God's blessing is not there. They are out of harmony with God. Our ministry is the ministry of bringing people back together with God. And how well this will sync with the story. We talked in our Bible class this morning, and you may have read about it if you weren't in Bible class, about our new study for Sunday morning Bible class and our preaching on Sunday morning, the story. We're just going through the Bible in story form. You have an opportunity to get a book that has the Bible in story form, just that one thread that goes all the way through the Bible. That's God's story. But we have a story. How we are doing our best to make that story live through us. Well, people need to hear that story from us. How we're trying to put God's story into our story. They need to hear that. They need to hear of our struggles and our failures, as well as our successes. They need to have hope that they're not the only ones who are fouled up. We're fouled up too. But we have the grace of God working with us. We're reconciled to God through Christ, not because of our intelligence, but because of Christ. And so things are working. Oh, it's not perfect. Because we live in an imperfect world. This is a fallen world. Satan is doing everything he can. And our own human nature is working against so many times God. But the Christian knows the difference. There's a difference in a person who honors God and uplifts Christ and lets Christ direct us than the person who is always butting heads with God. There's a difference. How much richer their lives would be if only they were reconciled to God. And their eternity would be secured. We'd see them in heaven. Those friends, those loved ones we honor so much. If only we could learn the arts of spiritual conversation. So what I'm doing this morning, I've said all of that to say, sign up for life groups this morning. Especially I would ask those of you who've not been involved in life groups ever, or maybe for a while, you just kind of got tired of them and decided you'd kind of float around a while, or maybe just stay home, watch TV, or do something with the kids or whatever. Let me encourage you. Sign up for life groups this time, especially. There's great fellowship, food, and friendships. But learn these spiritual truths that will always give you an awareness. You'll never look at people the same again. You know, Paul said, I don't look at people from a human point of view anymore. That'll be the way you are. You'll start looking at them through the eyes of love, and you'll be looking for ways to develop friendships with them so you can eventually, when the time is right, just bring it up. You know, I've had this struggle too. But I tell you what happened to me. And go in from there to a spiritual conversation. And it may not go well at first. But who knows what seed has been planted in that person. Come back and you be the one that will have made a difference in their lives. I bought one of those vials of water. It was one of my souvenirs coming back to Wichita Falls from this old Greek Orthodox priest. Here it is, right here. It's sealed at the top. And when I bought it, I could hear the water sloshing around. The water from Jacob's well. And I came and put it in our glass case in the hallway there in front of the Family Life Center. You may remember seeing it. I don't know. It's been a long time. And then after so long, I brought it back to my office and then put it on a shelf in my office. And one day, I decided I've just got to see if I've never dared open that seal. But after a few years, curiosity just got the best of me. And so I peeled it off, and I was going to put a little water from Jacob's well on my hand. It was empty. It was empty. Water from Jacob's well on display had vanished. It had evaporated. And so now all I have to show is this little vial. Well, you know, there's a life lesson there. There's a spiritual principle there. And Paul mentions it in Philemon 6. Water is meant to be shared. It's meant to quench thirst. It's meant to clean. It's not meant to be put in a little vial and displayed. Because it'll go away. When did it go away? I don't know. It just vanished. Paul expressed it this way to Philemon. He describes himself as an old man and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You see, he wrote this while he was in prison. So, what that tells me is, Paul was a man of experience, not just theory. And he was a man who was willing to go with God all the way. He didn't shy away from prison. He was a prisoner of Christ Jesus. But he said this to Philemon as a man of experience and a man who had tested the Lord all the way. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. If you don't want the living water of Jesus to evaporate from your vessel, I need to learn to share it in imperfect ways, in bumbling ways. It doesn't matter. Just share it. And the Lord will do the rest. He's promised. Do we realize that eternal truth? I hope we do. Let's put it into practice. And the first step may very well be for you. Sign up for a life group. This morning, while it's fresh on your mind, and you have opportunity, let's get serious about making a difference in people's lives. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Dear Father, as we begin a new year in many ways, with school starting and a new program on Sunday mornings with the story, and a new study in our life groups, the arts of spiritual conversation, Father, we pray your presence and your blessing. Help us to take it seriously. Father, I pray that you will help us not to diminish our own power to make a difference in people's lives, because it's not our power, it's your power. But help us be the vessel. Help us be the vial. Help us be the channel through which people's hearts can be changed for now and forever. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.